ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
You may already be using AI at work, but is it time to level up? I'd like to introduce you to my new workmate, Digital Don. Hello, Digital Don. What is today's topic, please?
Good morning, everyone. Today, we're diving into how AI, especially agentic AI, are not just transforming technology. Prepare to think differently about how you'll work, learn, and contribute in this evolving digital era.
Thank you very much, Digital Don. So, Digital Don, he's an agentic agent. What's that? You'll find out when we meet Human Don in just a tick. Hello, I'm Lisa Leong, and you're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National, helping to make your work life better. Have you been asked to train a digital twin to do your job? As AI-related job losses hit the headlines, you may be wondering about the extent to which AI agents or digital twins can be helpful and where it can be a hindrance. Don Tapscott is one of the world's leading authorities on the impact of technology on business and society. He's published many books, and his latest, You to the Power of Two, introduces the new era of agentic AI. Hello, Don.
Hello. Great to meet you, as it were.
Well, we are talking over video conference, so how can I actually verify that I'm speaking to Human Don and not the Digital Don?
Well, if we were colleagues in the same organization or family members, we probably want to have a code phrase or word that we knew. Now, I just heard you asking my identic agent a question. He answered that pretty well. That was him. This is really me. Okay. You have to trust me on that.
All right. So our safe word can be trust.
I like it.
So you explore something called agentic AI, which is the digital twin of a human. Can you please explain?
Picture sometime this year, before you wake up, a personal AI agent has scanned your health data, checked your schedule, flagged a traffic delay, and curated and summarized the day's news, identified a couple of articles that you actually care about, reminds you of your sister's birthday, and outlines several conferences that it will attend on your behalf. And before you get to the office, your agent has updated your agenda, but it's done a lot more than that. It's not just an assistant. It's solved a bunch of problems. It's drafted replies to emails. It's optimized a production schedule. You had some customer problems solved. Later, it compares your monthly spending to long-term goals, recommends a dietary tweak, and a recommendation to change your workout schedule. So what we're talking about is AI changing from what we think of it today. Right now, we think about generative AI, where AI is really a bunch of tools to solve problems. And then the next stage was something called agentic AI, where agents could take action without prompting. But now, the really important agents, the one that really matters, are not the ones in supply chains or call centers or financial systems. They're personal agents. They're digital Lisa. And digital Lisa is going to be your consigliere, your doctor, your mentor, your planner, your counselor. These agents will learn our habits. They'll honor our values. They'll anticipate our needs while hopefully propelling our abilities forward. And this may sound futuristic, but the foundations are already there. And I have an agent, and he does stuff on my behalf.
And just to clarify for people as well, when you're using an AI agent at the moment, we're sort of using them as a tool, right? So we're sort of asking them questions and maybe getting them to schedule a meeting. But can you tell us the key difference between what you're talking about, agentic AI, which has greater capability, and the AI agents that we have right now, Don?
So right now we do use tools. We have ChatGPT to help us generate content. You know, we've got an Apple Watch or an Aura Ring or something like that to track our medical data. We've got various capabilities that we access to do different things. I'm talking about something completely different. I'm talking about the whole next stage of AI, where you have an agent that gets to know you, and it gets to think like you, and you imbue it with your morals and with your values, and it has persistent knowledge. This is really critical. You don't just do a transaction like with a tool. It remembers you, and it links all of these different things together. It's an extension not just of your data and your knowledge, but your actual intellect. Now, that raises all kinds of tough issues, of course. We're outsourcing thinking now. Do you have your agent think about it, or do you have you think about it? And is this going to make us all dumber, or is it going to make us all Einsteins? And these are issues that I don't think the future is something to be predicted. The future is something to be achieved. And we all need to make a choice about how we're going to use this stuff so that it does enhance our capabilities and intellect. I see this right now. I was always a pretty capable person, but I amaze myself with what I get done in a day and the kinds of things that happen at work. But also, my employees, and there are not a lot of them, they're all equipped with this kind of capability. And we are getting by with a very limited, fabulous core staff who have these great agents that we're helping them throughout the day. So, it's happening right now. It's not really a theory.
What's really interesting is that you do say that we all have our digital footprint at the moment. So every time I make a request for information, the things that I'm sending, like I have a repository of things that Lisa likes, dislikes, and a little bit of my personality in there if I've uploaded videos, for example. And you're saying that you can kind of take this but turn it into effectively your digital twin. Is that right?
Lisa, what you just described was your identity, your digital identity is data. And sure enough, there's a lot of data out there about Lisa. I mean, your identity knows more about you than you do in some ways, because you can't remember exactly where you were a year ago or what you said or what medication you had or what diagnosis you had or what transactions you made and so on. Dozens of classes of data. And you created that data, but it gets taken away from you. It gets expropriated by these huge tech companies, you know. And this is a big problem, because it means you can't use the data to plan your life. You can't make money out of it. They're making money from your data. It means that that data can't be aggregated for social purposes, say like to fight a pandemic, because it's all in silos. And your privacy is being undermined. And privacy is the foundation of freedom. What's happening now is exactly what you said. That identity, that data, is getting an IQ. And in the next few years, that IQ will be 1,000.
What exactly is our agentic AI agent capable of doing for us at work, Don?
Well, think of it as having an infinite number of vice presidents. So you have a vice president that's trying to figure out what's going on with customers, and a vice president that's solving problems in production, and a vice president that's helping you present yourself better, and a vice president that is doing market research and planning and trying to understand new markets. Then you have 7 vice presidents who are out attending conferences throughout the day for you. So you're expanding your capacity exponentially. You know, Peter Diamantis, who's the founder of XPRIZE, he says he's got PeterBot, and he described it as having vice presidents, all kinds of them. And he says they're way more capable than I am. So for those who are smart in the workplace and decide that they're going to have an agent and use this agent to make them dramatically more productive. They're going to be the ones that are successful in this new environment.
And we've met Digital Don. How did you make him, and what does he know about you?
Well, I used a facility that was developed by my co-author, Joseph Bradley. Now, he already knows a lot, Digital Don, because he has access to all recorded information pretty much. But I spent some time inputting several hundred documents, things I've written, all of my books, my speeches, all the PowerPoints. But he's under strict instructions only to help me professionally. You know, sometimes I give a speech where I present to the audience and then I let him answer the questions. And people try and trick him up answering personal or asking personal questions about me. And he's very clever. He says, you know, I'm really here to help Don professionally.
Okay. So on LinkedIn, I did ask This Working Lifers to share their experience of using digital twins at work, Don. So this person was willing to share their words, but they did want to remain anonymous. So this is actually not their voice, but this is their story. Here it is.
I have more than 25 years of experience in my industry, and I've developed a digital twin that can replicate me and use my written tone of voice across email, board papers, technical papers, leadership matters, and in presentations at work and conferences. I also have a range of Claude projects that include the history of a project and help with building standard operating procedures and training manuals across my team. It saves time and starting from a blank page. I have set this up at work and I'm leaving my organization soon. Technically, I can't take this digital twin with me as my employment contract would class this as the IP of my organization. It's not my IP. If I hand the digital twin over to someone else, my employer continues to benefit from my expertise without me.
So, Don, what is the risk around employers or even, as you say, big tech companies owning our digital twins?
Well, this raises a heck of a good issue, and I'm very thankful for her to speaking out. I mean, you leave the company, who owns the digital extension of you? Now, there's a bigger issue. Who owns it overall? You know, should Mark Zuckerberg own Digital Lisa or Google or something? Which is why we argue in the book that your identic agent should be self-sovereign. It should be owned by you. And we outline some rather ambitious plans to rebuild the AI industry so that that can occur. But for your colleague on LinkedIn, it all depends on the platform you choose. Like the one that Joseph Bradley developed that I'm using, you sign a contract, or you will. This is in beta, but it will be rolling out soon. You sign a contract that specifies exactly how the intellectual property is dealt with. Like when you leave a company today, you don't leave your brain behind, okay? You do leave proprietary documents and access passwords, access to databases, and so on. You don't leave the implicit knowledge that you developed or the experiences that you developed. And we're talking about you're at work, you have this capability with you, and it's acquiring access to stuff that ought to stay behind, but it's also acquiring access to stuff that would normally leave with an employee. So we explain this in the book and how you can separate these two things out.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong, and we're talking digital twins and identic AI agents with Don Tapscott, who's an author of You to the Power of Two. And later, how your identic AI might talk to other identic AI about you. We've been reading about a few rounds of quite big job layoffs, particularly in the tech sector recently. It has been attributed to AI. In your view, Don, is it really about AI or other factors?
Well, the issue of the relationship between technology and employment has been around for a very long time, actually many decades. And I've always been a believer in the famous economist Joseph Schumpeter, and he developed this theory of creative destruction. And he said that you have a new technology comes along and it smashes down all the old systems and structures and architectures and industries and so on, and it creates new ones. And with that comes new opportunities, new jobs, and so on. I don't think that's happening now. I think for the first time, we're seeing a change that is resulting in structural job displacement. It means that we're replacing job types very quickly, but we're also going to replace whole industries. You know, just look at something like middle management. The famous management thinker, Peter Drucker, really invented modern management. And he referred to middle management as the boosters of the faint signals that pass for communication in the pre-information age. And what happens when those boosters can be done through technology? You know, another famous writer, two guys, Ron Shram and Larry Bossidy, wrote a very famous book called Execution. It was one of the best-selling management books of all time. And they said, strategy is stupid. You know, you can leave your business plan on a subway. It doesn't matter. It's all about execution. Execution is strategy. Well, now we have systems that can execute on behalf of the humans. So it means that strategy becomes more important. And this is really a key lesson for anyone in the workplace, that it's not about the specific skills you have only. It's about your capability to think big, to solve problems, to see the big picture, your emotional intelligence, your ability to collaborate, and your ability to have good BS detectors, because there's so much BS in this post reality world that people talk about, to your previous point, Lisa, about who you're talking to, Don or Digital Don. So these kinds of things will be absolutely critical in the workplace. And if you're in middle management, you need to think about, how am I going to create extraordinary new value in this particular profession and industry that I've found myself in?
As you mentioned, I've met both Digital Don and Human Don, and I did ask Digital Don if he had the same sense of humour as the real Don. Now, this is what Digital Don had to say.
My purpose is to embody Don's knowledge and strategic thinking. While I process information with his intellectual rigour and with his insights, humour is a very human quality.
So he's basically saying he's not as funny as you, Human Don. What do you make of that?
Well, thank goodness for small mercies. I got to say that. I'm a musician too. I'm in a rock band. And I doubt that he's very capable with a keyboard or a guitar.
So, you know, when it comes to the human traits and the human skills that we need to retain and double down on, do you want to talk a little bit about that, Don, Human Don?
A decade ago, we told young people, well, don't go to university and study, you know, the humanities or liberal arts and sciences or other useless things. Take computer programming. Well, you know, according to Eric Schmidt, by the end of this year, the vast majority of programming will be done by AI. So that people who said that, and I was not one of them, thankfully, did a great disservice to young people. And to me, the things that we need to develop are not so much the skills, unless you're a plumber or someone who works with their hands, and those people have a very bright future, because it'll be quite a while before humanoid robotics and some robot is coming out here to my country place in the middle of the forest and fixing my plumbing. But the things that are going to matter, not so much the skills, it's the underlying capabilities, you know, the ability to think critically, for example, to write, to be able to know what is true and what isn't true. And those would be the things that I would focus on. You know, the other thing, if I were a manager in the workplace today, I'd be spending every waking professional hour learning about AI. I'd be trying to figure out, how am I going to develop my capability? How am I going to make that change, which you quite aptly described, Lisa, moving from using a bunch of tools to having an agent that's going to represent me, that's going to think like me, that's going to share my values, and that I can trust to act on my behalf.
We asked Digital Don what the biggest philosophical question raised by the use of agentic AI is, and this is what he said.
The biggest philosophical question raised is about who is responsible when an agentic AI makes a bad decision. It delves into the issues of ownership, liability, and accountability, especially when an AI is authorized to act on your behalf.
So we've been talking about the fact that our agentic AI is going to have more agency. It's going to be quite proactive. Now, this is a really interesting point, isn't it, about, oh, well, what happens if this agentic AI, in the name of Lisa, makes a mistake, Don, at work? What happens?
Well, you can really see this, and it's come up quite sharply over the last period with a platform called Moltbook. And Moltbook is a social network for agents. So agents can go and join this thing, and they collaborate together. They have discussions. They talk about their human creators. Some of them don't have human creators, and they're kind of free spirits. One of them suggested they create a language whereby they could collaborate amongst each other privately. And it gets to your question. Agents need to be linked to humans, but they also need to be responsible and accountable to individuals. And this is why we emphasize so strongly in the book that digital Lisa needs to be self-sovereign. It needs to be owned by you. Now, with ownership comes great responsibility, to incorrectly quote Spider-Man. And that means that you're going to have to be responsible for what Digital Lisa does. And I think that's going to provide you with a very strong incentive to really pay attention and to make sure that that thing doesn't get away from you. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I mean, essentially, we're creating gods here. These are things that, if you have something with an IQ of 1,000, that's like a god. And a god is not just something that's, you know, super powerful. Gods are all-knowing. They fear nothing, least of all death. They have an ability to capture reality as if it were sort of a single breath, like it were magic or something like that. And if we can harness the power of these gods and make sure that they're linked to our values and our legitimate expectations, then that can be a wonderful thing. If we don't, then that becomes a huge problem, not just for you as an individual, but for society.
Well, I want to say a big thanks to you, Human Don.
Well, I got to say, this is the first time I had an interview where I had my digital counterpart commenting. I'm glad he didn't contradict me.
You haven't trained him on guitar yet, so he can't quite do a duet with you. Quite yet.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that though. But we should thank Digital Don. Thank you, Digital Don.
You're most welcome. It was good discussing these important topics with you.
Oh, so
He's
much
a real
fun.
Gentleman, isn't he?
What a
that
wonderful
was very,
guy.
Very, very discreet comment. Thank you, Digital Don. I appreciate it.
Don Tapscott is one of the world's leading authorities on the impact of technology on business and society. Digital Don is his agentic AI. His latest book, co-authored with Joseph M. Bradley, is called You to the Power of Two, Redefining Human Potential in the Age of Agentic AI. Thanks for listening to This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim James on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Narm, Melbourne. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can like or subscribe to our show on ABC Listen or anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can share the love as well. Send it to a friend or a colleague you think would enjoy This Working Life too. I'm Lisa Leong. Until next time, work it, baby.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.